Well, among the many other tasks this week, I spent an afternoon working on reformatting the spreadsheet of the 2020 church budget that will be presented to session and to you all in a few weeks. I've been working with the administration and finance team to put this together, to put together the numbers and the charts, a necessary, though not particularly glamorous, task. As I lined up all the categories and crunched all the numbers to make sure everything added up correctly, I was thankful for my dad. I remembered him and his expertise in budgets and spreadsheets and charts and number crunching, forged from over 40 years' experience in the world of corporate finance. Dad always told me, "Hillary, always understand the numbers. Before you sign anything, make sure you understand the numbers." It's advice that has served me well in life and in ministry. When I submit my tax information to my family accountant, the one who did my father's taxes and now does my mother's taxes and is now doing mine, he sees these detailed spreadsheets and number crunching and comments how I truly am Jack Livingston's daughter. I've been thinking about my father this week. It's been almost a year and a half since he died. I think about his legacy and how I have grown to be like him in so many ways. It's especially appropriate to think about the legacy of those loved ones who we've lost on this All Saints Sunday. It's a day on the church calendar to remember the saints, those who are among us and those who have gone on to glory. Today we light candles and speak the names of those whose baptism is now complete in death, who are enjoying rest from their earthly labor, who are in God's kingdom enjoying God's heavenly banquet, of which we will soon be partaking in a foretaste in communion. The Christian celebration of All Saints stems from a belief that there is a powerful spiritual bond between those in heaven and those here on earth, between the living and the deceased, between the church triumphant, those who are actively experiencing life eternal, and the church militant, those who are here on earth still struggling with evil and sin and death and suffering. In Christian tradition, we believe death is not the final word for humanity. We believe in resurrection from the dead. Because Christ was raised from death to life, so we too may experience eternal life and bodily resurrection in the life to come. Jesus speaks of this to his disciples in John's gospel, where he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." These teachings encourage us to put our faith and trust in Jesus in all matters of life and in death. They give us hope and comfort when we grieve the loss of loved ones. They give us cause to remember those saints who have passed, knowing that their lives were lived not in vain, but they had eternal purpose, and that their lives continue into eternity as this great cloud of witnesses. And we look forward to the day when that bond between death and eternal life will permanently be broken, and earth and heaven will gloriously be united in one kingdom, where we will all fellowship with God and one another forever. The author of Hebrews speaks of this hope in Jesus' resurrection, not just a promise of things to come, but a source of encouragement and exhortation to live our lives faithfully right here and now. Because of the spiritual bond between heaven and earth, we trust that we are not alone in the Christian life. Rather, Hebrews speaks, as we've said, of this great cloud of witnesses that surround us, that inspire us to greater faith and holy living. Their example encourages us to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Their example encourages us to look to Jesus, who is called the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I'm always struck by that statement. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy that was set before him that led Jesus to endure the cross? I like to think that we are part of that joy, that humanity being healed and restored, no longer subject to sin and suffering and death and loss, that this was part of the joy set before Jesus that made him willing to endure even the cross for our salvation and the reconciliation of all things. The joy of all creation put right and restored to its original glory. The saints who have passed from this life to the next, this great cloud of witnesses that surround us, this too is part of the joy set before Jesus that led him to the cross. Jesus' love for us and the joy that he has for all humanity being restored encourages us to endure the trials of this life with faith and perseverance, knowing that in the end, heaven and earth will joyfully be united in Christ, and that we shall be part of it. On All Saints' Day, we speak the names of the saints who have passed. We remember their legacy, everything in them that was good and righteous, everything in their lives that gave evidence that God was at work in their lives and in the world through them. We give thanks for the gift of their lives, and we seek to follow their example. We acknowledge our own mortality. After all, someday someone will be lighting a candle for each one of us, as sobering as that is to think about. Our time in this world is short, and we never know how much time we have left. Therefore, let us commit to living afresh in greater hope and greater faith and greater love. In Jesus Christ, let us consider our life, our witness, our hope, the people that God has placed in our lives, to whom we are called to love and serve and influence for good. Let us not grow weary or complacent in our faith journey, but may we be encouraged by the saints who have gone before us to live more fully for Christ's glory while we have the time to do so. The classic hymn, For All the Saints, which we'll be singing shortly, has a number of verses that are omitted from modern hymn books. One such poignant verse is as follows: But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of Glory passes on his way. Hallelujah. This verse speaks of the glorious future of all the saints together in God's kingdom. Friends, let us live as faithful followers of Christ, as have the great saints who have gone before us on this All Saints' Day and forever. And may God bless this message to our hearing. Amen.